So I'm going to share this message because even if you haven't got a life that's damaged, the title actually is He Sends Forth Justice. So where there is damage, Jesus sends forth justice because he paid the price. And so I was going to say something very profound and it's totally disappeared out of my mind. But yeah, people did ask, please, you know, would I do this again? And, well, I didn't do it. I just touched on it. So I'm going to bring this message. And you will meet people who are damaged, and maybe some of you are in one way or another. There's something in your life that's happened and you're struggling to get rid of it. And God wants you to be free. Jesus came to set the captives free, totally. And so if this is for you, and if it's you say, well, I'm all doing all right, that's good, but listen to what God has to say so you can help somebody else. So, you know, I really believe that I said last week that God is coming in a powerful way, actually. It's going to really affect a lot of people that have been struggling for a long time. So it's like a whole wave that God is going to bring, but hey, it starts here, all right? So we've got to be ready for what God wants to do. So I want to start in Luke 4:18. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." See, he read that? "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." In other words, those who are oppressed, trodden down, bruised, or broken by calamity is what that actually means. So God, Jesus is all about freedom and seeing people's lives free. It's not just about a physical thing. You know, we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, body. And he wants our souls to be free. And many, that's where most people have the biggest hang-up is in their soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. And that's where the damage is done. Physical things happen, but the damage goes into our soul. And God wants people's souls free because unless you're actually free in your soul, you'll never be who God wants you to be. You can never fully be the person that God wants you to be. So Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have no doubt about his goodness. And today, more than ever, he wants broken hearts healed. He wants damaged lives restored. You know, to be brokenhearted is like when you're being crushed. You know that feeling, that crushing feeling, or a shattered. Something happened, you've just been shattered by what's happened. And when something is completely crushed or completely shattered, in the natural, there's no way you can fix it, can you? You know, if a car's been totally shattered and crushed, you can't fix it. It's just taken off as scrap metal. But the wonderful thing is God never throws us away. Doesn't matter how shattered or hurt we are, he would never, ever, ever, ever ignore somebody, throw them away, just say, no, you're too damaged for me. No one is too damaged for the Lord God Almighty to fix. You know, so people's hearts have been completely crushed by demonic pressure, by people. Could we just have that off, please, so it doesn't blow us away? people's hearts have been completely crushed by demonic pressure, by people, injustice, drugs, abuse, rejection, abandonment, you know, and their lives are left shattered. And seemingly they feel worthless. They have no worth in the world. But I want to show you that God really wants to restore hearts. And there's no heart beyond the repair of the master in the hands of the master restorer, repairer. Jesus Christ is the master in restoring lives. So let's just have a look. In Matthew 12:20, it says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory." So he's talking about people. He's not just talking about, a reed in the garden or whatever. He's talking about people. He says, a bruised reed he'll not break. He'll not allow that thing to break. A smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice. He wants to send forth justice into everybody's life. He will never give up on you until you have the victory. That's what it means. He declares justice over you. You know, when you receive Jesus Christ, he declares justice over your life. Why? Because he paid the price to set us free. Totally free. It says in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, he says, surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our pains and our sorrows. Our pains. That's not just, it can be physical pain, but that's spiritual pain, that's torment of the mind. Pain in the soul. Pains and sorrows. We can be overwhelmed with sorrow. Yet we esteemed him stricken by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was put upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You know, Jesus, when he was arrested, from that moment, from the moment of arrest to the moment when he died on that cross, he felt every emotion ever experienced by mankind. He felt what it was to be abused. He felt what it was to be mistreated, to be sworn at, to be yelled at, beaten, mocked, be abandoned and rejected. He felt everything that we go through. He felt deep sorrow, deep pain. He went through it all from the beginning to the end. And as he hung on the cross, it didn't just stop before when he was beaten and everything. He hung on that cross and still they hurled abuse at him. And when he was hanging there, he felt that sense of being abandoned by God. That's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at that moment, God turned his head away. He turned himself away from Jesus because he was cursed. He was hanging there as a curse. And so he felt that pain, the hopelessness, the loneliness, how alone he felt. Abandoned by his father, he felt the punishment for sin, even though he never committed sin. He never committed it. So Jesus will never look, he will not look at a shattered heart and say that heart is worthless to me. He will never look at a shattered heart and say that heart is shattered beyond repair. It is no use. It has no use for me. He will never treat damaged hearts like that. He does send forth justice, freedom, liberty for everybody. No matter what you've faced, no matter what you've suffered in life, no matter what people have done to you, no matter what people have said to you, no matter how deep the hurt, he sends forth justice. It's a new justice. It's his justice. It's God's justice. You know, Satan has been charged and found guilty. Now God is demanding justice because of what his son did for us. And, you know, it's always like that justice is crying out on our behalf. And he wants us to be healed, and he tells us we have the victory. We find it through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to bring justice and healing and wholeness. See, you could get physically healed but still be hurting on the inside. Isn't that true? But Jesus came to make us whole, spirit, soul, body. Nothing left out. Don't you just love him? That he did that for us. He took all that on the cross for us. Isn't that? That is love. That is the love of the Father. That's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is, it says in verse, going on from that scripture in Matthew 12, it says in 21, and his name the Gentiles will trust. It means those who, outside of the Jewish nation at that time, the Gentiles will trust. God wants us trusting in the name of Jesus because there's healing in that name, there's freedom in that name, there's justice in that name, there's reparation in that name, there's deliverance in that name, there's wholeness in that name, there's total freedom and liberty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you need is in the name of Jesus Christ. Freedom is in that name. The name of Jesus, that powerful name. Looking forward to tonight. You know, it's all about Jesus for New Zealand. The name of Jesus. It all started because the name of Jesus was taken out of Parliament's prayer. And we say, no, because this nation belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely. So Jesus, he encompasses all that as just and right and good and true. And as I said, he is a master at restoring damaged lives and hearts. So your heart is restorable. People's hearts are restorable because of God's great love for you. And people will go to great lengths to restore something they love, won't they? You know, if you watch those programs, especially in Britain for some reason, they pick the, you know, these old, might be old, you know, old stone buildings. There's nothing much left of them. And, you know, to anyone else, they're just old dilapidated things, not worth anything, just bowl it. But, you know, those people will spend all they've got and they'll spend all this energy to make this place that to us would look like it's in ruins, and they turn it into something beautiful. And why do they do this? Because they see the end result and they know what it looked like when it was first built. See, God looks at us the same way. He sees what we were and what we were meant to be, and he knows what we will become if we put our trust in him and allow him to heal us and to make us whole. So, you know, we're neither cheap or of no value to God at all. Everyone is of great value. We're worth restoring. People are worth restoring. You may feel like an old dilapidated building. But God doesn't see you like that. He sees you as someone of great value, and he wants to restore you and make you whole. Isn't that good? Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad you don't see us the way we look at people sometimes. No, you see people perhaps sitting on the street, homeless. And we must, you know, and people sort of get a bit offended about it. But what made them like that? What put them there? What is it in their life that's made them end up like that? See, God can, he knows what they were meant to be. He knows what he wants them to be. And he'll do anything. He did everything so that they could be free. They just need to know about it, that they can be free. It says in Romans 5:6, for when we were still without strength, while we were still damaged, Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if he died for us while we were still sinners, while the world was lying in such deep darkness and grossness, he died for the world because he loves the world. So he knew us before the foundation of the world, and he wants us to be made whole. He wants everybody to come back to him and allow him to restore their lives. So Jesus is anointed for that. He had that anointing. And I tell you what, you have the anointing. You have an anointing. It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That really bothered him. He hated it when he saw what the enemy had done to God's children, and how they were so damaged, and what things that had happened to them. They were downtrodden, they were damaged, they were shattered by the devil, and he recognized how it all happened. So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, always. I want to read you an amazing story. If you see the heart of Jesus in this, in Luke 7, so if you've got your Bible, because I don't think I asked for it to be put up there because it was too long. So if you've got your Bible or your app on your phone, you can go to Luke chapter 7, and we'll start at verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now, she wasn't just, you know, swearing a bit, you know, she was a bit more than that sinner, okay? You know what a sinner is, what they're actually saying? Okay, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, I mean, I admire this woman's guts, knowing what state she was in and what she'd been up to. go into a Pharisee's house. That took courage to go and to turn up in a Pharisee's house. I tell you what, they're just there to judge and to condemn. You know, Jesus had a few choice words for them. I loved them. You whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. That's what he thought of them, because that's what they would like. Anyway, here he is at this house. And a woman in the city was a sinner who, when she knew Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answered, he heard, he knew their thoughts. He didn't say it out loud, he said it to himself, quietly in his head. But Jesus read thoughts. He said, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. So he did. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, let's say $500, and the other 50. When they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with them began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. In other words, be whole. He made her whole that day. And she had faith. This woman, she had faith in the anointing upon Jesus. She had faith in his love and his forgiveness. She knew something about him that she just knew. This man forgives. His love is genuine. And her faith, Jesus said, saved her. Her faith opened her damaged heart to the healing power of Jesus, to wash her, to restore her, and to give her peace and wholeness. That's what faith is. She opened her heart. That's what we need to do. Open your heart and allow Jesus to wash you, make you whole. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to send forth justice on your behalf. And Jesus, he loved her despite her damaged, shattered state, despite her sin, and poured his restoring love into her life. See, the Pharisee couldn't see what Jesus could see. He could only see someone totally devoid of any worth, a sinner, and didn't know that he was even a worse sinner. Professing to be godly, he was ungodly. But Jesus, he could see a damaged heart that needed to be restored to its original state. He could see a damaged soul crying out for help and mercy. He saw someone worth saving. He responded and made her whole. And he will respond and make anyone whole if they sincerely reach out to him. And sometimes Christians are like Simon the Pharisee. They cannot see the state of their own hearts. They cannot see the pride, the selfishness, self-righteousness. And in being like that, they've also damaged their hearts. And they don't think they need much forgiveness from God. They're okay. And so their damaged hearts are incapable of loving much. And they can't love God much, nor people. Why? Because they don't recognize the state of their own hearts. Well, that day, that woman was transformed from a damaged state to a restored state. because she saw the desperate need she had for God. And that day, as she wept at Jesus' feet, Jesus responded and sent forth justice. Justice to forgive, to heal, to make whole those who seek him. See, he'll always send forth justice. I just want to read another scripture in Matthew 8, 2 and 3. Matthew 8, 2 and 3. Behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, if you know back then, lepers were outcasts. They were hated. You weren't allowed to approach them, and they weren't allowed to approach you. And rabbis, in particular, were unapproachable. And Jesus was classed as a rabbi, really. But he approached Jesus because he was approachable. See, Jesus is always approachable. God is always approachable. We should always be approachable. And so all sorts of damaged people could come to Jesus and approach him without fear of rejection. Anyway, the leper was not only physically damaged, but his heart was damaged. And that was because society rejected him. He was, as I said, he was an outcast from society. Even his loved one, he had to be evicted from the home in case they got leprosy. So he suffered rejection from those he loved, and he believed he was destined to an eternity without God. Can you imagine what that would feel like? Because, you know, lepers were unclean and dirty, and unclean and dirty people don't go to heaven. So they were told by the Pharisees, who couldn't see at all. It's a bit of a pun on that one. Pharisees. They couldn't see. Pharisees. They couldn't see. Explain that one. Okay, so this man, he suffered abuse. He was abused. You know, they'd be saying, get out of here. They were things thrown at them. It was terrible. Treated like dogs. I wouldn't treat dogs like that. I love my dogs. Never treat them like that. They're treated like humans, totally. Spoiled kids, that's what they're treated like. Anyway, you know, he suffered all this abuse. He had to go hunting for food and scraps and things like that. His soul was damaged. Now, don't he did have his leprosy. Along with leprosy came a damaged soul. And Jesus, it says that he touched him. Jesus could have just spoken a word and healed him. But Jesus wanted him to feel a human touch. He wanted him to feel love. Because his touch healed his soul. He could have spoken a word and the leprosy, you know, all leprosy gone, but he touched him. And in that touch, tell you what, there would have been a rush of anointing into him, and his soul was healed at the same time. And so today, many souls need a touch from God, from Jesus. And when he's touched, when they are touched, Jesus will always send forth justice so they can experience victory. So there's a price tag on each of our lives. It's the price of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life for us. You may feel like you are the only damaged stock on the shelf. Why would bother God? You know, what happens to damaged stock in a shop? They just throw it in a trolley and, you know, just get rid of it. Half price, half price. No half price for you. No half price, no matter how damaged somebody is, the full price of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the full price of his life. He didn't half die for some and fully die for others. He fully died for everyone. I don't care who they are, where they are, what they've done. He fully died from them all. And he sees the restored life. He sees justice restoring hearts. He sees reparation being made. He sees the finished product standing whole, righteous, whole before him, before his throne. So we need to allow him to forgive us. Some people can't forgive themselves. Allow him to forgive you, then forgive yourself. So important. You know, if you can't forgive yourself, then you're never going to be free. If God can forgive you, why can't you forgive you? How silly. Are you more important than God? No. The price was paid for you to go free. And you have to forgive yourself. Whatever you've done, it doesn't matter. If you've asked God to forgive you, you need to forgive. It's so important. Don't hide behind a mask saying, I'm fine, I've forgiven them. Don't hide there. Deal with it. Let God reach into your heart and let him remove all the hurts and all the rejection, all the bitterness, all the unforgiveness, everything, all the shame that's damaged your heart. Let God reach into you and do that. You know, ever since the fall of man, people have been trying to hide from God. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, where were they? They were hiding in the garden. You know, they weren't playing peekaboo or hide and seek. They just didn't want to be found. They knew they'd done wrong. And God called out, where are you, Adam and Eve? I know where. He knew where they were. They were hiding in the bushes. But he gave them the choice to come out of that hiding place. And so God wants people to come out of their hiding place. He calls out, where are you? You're hiding something from me, but I can see it anyway. So we've got to come out of that. Where he can see you, say, Lord, here I am. I'm here. Restore my heart. And he will. So Jesus says today, you can experience liberty and freedom from all oppression, from all darkness, from all hidden pain and pain from the past. And he says today, I will heal you. I will heal your heart, no matter how damaged it is. And today you walk free with me. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he wants. He wants you all walking free with him. Now, last week I got us to pray a prayer. I might have to get you to do it again. Is that okay? Because there's some here that weren't here the other time. So I would like us, do you mind doing it again? For the sake of others, if not for you. Let's do it again. It's really important. And then we're going to pray for people, those who need that final breakthrough. Today's your day. Today is the day. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of healing. This is the day of freedom. This is the day that God calls forth justice for every life in this place. So let's just stand for a moment. Okay, so I'm just going to repeat what we pray, and if we'll just repeat it after me. Very important you pray this if you need freedom. So Jesus, I believe you were anointed to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and to set free those who are oppressed. Today, I thank you for dying for me on the cross. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins. Today, I loose from my soul all pain, all brokenness, and damage to my soul. I loose from my soul all sorrow, sadness, grief, trauma, abuse, and violence. I loose from my soul all bitterness, all offenses, all unforgiveness, all hurts. I loose from my soul all hateful, cursing words spoken to me or that I have spoken. In Jesus' name. And we're going to just pray this last bit. Father, I ask for your healing love and grace to flood my soul. Fill my soul with your light and life. Heal my heart and make me whole. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Whew. Whew. Justice. God calls forth justice. Amen. Freedom. And if you still want prayer, if you say, yeah, I need hands laid on me, please come up and we'll just perhaps have some music playing, or the team wants to get up, I don't mind, which one or the other. We just need something going on. And I'm not going to sing. But if you need prayer, please come up and we'll pray with you. If it's not just for that, if you need prayer for something else, that's fine. Physical healing, if you need healing for your bodies, whatever. But you're invited to come up. And saying that too, don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. Woo-hoo. Gonna be fun.